Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. Come on, guys. Yay! Yay. So today in my Sunday morning class, we were talking about showing emotions in our plea. I think that the same thing could be said about being in worship. We should show emotion about being in worship. So that's why I always want to say, see a really exciting greeting from all of you guys. So thank you, I appreciate it. It is good to see you all. I'm really excited that we're here today. If you are a visitor, you are an honored guest, and we are glad to have you. I do see a few of you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know, because we know you could choose to worship anywhere. We're glad you chose to worship with us and our family today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give for us. We thank you for the new year, which normally for most people means a new chance, a new opportunities, Lord. But as we go throughout our new year, we ask that you help us to focus on the one constant in our life, which is you. Thank you for your blessings and be with us in our worship. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right, so today that's what I'm going to be talking about. Last year, I asked Rachel what I should do, and she had this really clever idea about how it's a new year, a new you, but it's still the same God. I thought that was a really good idea, so I kind of went into that, and I went back looking at what has happened in the past year. That was the beginning of my last year, and now we're here like a few days before the new year. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened in 2019 that made me a better person? So I looked at my life, and these are all these significant things that happened in my life last year. I got a house. I got a new dog. That's like the beginning of a country song, I think. My wife decided she's going to run for office. We lost a few loved ones. We gained a new niece who's absolutely adorable. Got to spend some time with her. This is my first full year preaching. Have you guys been happy with that?
Yes.
Awesome. Great. Has anybody not liked it? Keep your hands down, please. Our first full year in Warrensburg. We've got to tell you, we've loved it. And while this year it's had its ups and downs, for our family, it has been a relatively good year. And we are excited to be going into 2020. How many of you are excited to be going into 2020? How many of you are saying good riddance to 2019? At least a few of you, because Sherilee is happy 2019 is over. I'm excited for you, Sherilee. So some of you are probably looking at 2019 and you are thinking good riddance, because maybe 2019 wasn't a good year for you. Maybe terrible things happened with you. 2019. Maybe you didn't like the political climate of 2019 and you wouldn't be alone. Maybe you're just excited to start something new. So last year I focused on this idea of that thing that we're not really starting something new when it comes to our relationship with God. But there are things I think that we could go into 2020 doing. So I want you to keep in mind who you are as a Christian. As a Christian, we see in the verse that Ian just read, you are this new creation, and you're already new. So we're not going into 2020 being a new creation, because we have completeness in Christ. But your walk with God at this point is not complete. And because it's not complete, it could still be improved. Now, does anybody here not know what this symbol is right here? Where have you seen this symbol before? On money. This is on the back of the $1 bill. And the reason I put this here is to illustrate kind of your walk with God. Because this symbol illustrates who we are as a country. If you look down here, you'll see the Roman numerals, which stands for 1776. And there are 13 steps with the top of it illustrating the 13 original colonies, or the 13 original states. Meaning, the idea of this is that as a country, it is incomplete and it is constantly growing. And this is what's called the all-seeing eye, or it is essentially under God. Think of this as your life. If this was me, this would be
Instead of 1776, it might say, well, it might say 1983 or it might say 2004, depending on how you look at it. But with 2004, definitely with the all-seeing eye under it. The idea is I'm still improving as a Christian. So this is what I think that we should do as Christians going into 2020, is to make this a year of building up your spiritual life. And there's many different ways you can do this, but I've decided to focus on six, so we'll keep it simple. I don't want to overburden anybody with trying to change their life completely, because the idea isn't to change completely. The idea is to improve upon what's already there. And this is how I think that we can, as Christians, make those improvements to our spiritual life. And the first one is, you know, getting serious about making these improvements. How many of you have come up with a New Year's resolution? A few of you. How many of you came up with a New Year's resolution last year? How many of you finished those resolutions? Good job, Abby. I'm proud of you. See, the thing I think about New Year's resolutions is we do them because they're expected of us, but we're not really serious about them. And that's often why they fail, is because we don't take them seriously. And so the very first thing I could say about improving your spiritual life is get serious about that. And this is not even something, we've got 3 days. You don't have to wait 3 days. You can start right now, right at this moment. Or as Paul says in Philippians, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, is to push forward. How do we get serious? Well, first off, stop making excuses. Stop letting your circumstances get you down, because as I said in my class today, there's always going to be something in the way. So if you say, I'm going to put it off later, I'm going to do it at a different time, well, I can promise you, there's always going to be something, whether it's your job, your kids, your family, an immediate emergency, there will always be something. And so there's no time like the present to not get serious about your spiritual life. Now, I say this as the first one because I think all others are on the premise that you are getting serious about the improvements you want to make to yourself. And the second one goes along with that is be humble. Or as James says in 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. How many people are humble? That was a trick question. I wanted to see if anybody would actually answer that. But humility is a very important part of being a Christian. Would you agree? Is it an easy part of being a Christian? Well, I guess it kind of depends on how it is. If you're someone who takes pride in your work and you want to show off your work, then that's probably a little bit more difficult for you. If you're someone who likes to sit in the back, maybe humility is an easy thing for you. But we understand that God requires humility from us. The Bible says so much about humility that I don't want to keep you here for the next 3 hours. So I just kind of hit some of the few ones, such as, you know, humility shows how we help each other, how we're exalted, basically how we find favor in God. It's never a bad thing to be humble as a Christian. And as we're humble, we start to find that when we get serious about it, and we start to take our faith seriously, it's easier to draw near to God. I don't know how many times this year I've asked myself, do I feel like I'm close to God? And then I read something this week which I thought I should have known, but I never made this particular connection. Because it's not about how close God is to me, because there's only one person stopping that relationship. Who's stopping that relationship? I am. It's how close I am to Him. God is always the exact same distance away that He lets us. God is almost always the exact same distance away from us that we allow Him to be. As Paul writes in Romans, there's absolutely nothing that is going to stop God from loving us. Except, I would say, nothing at all. So the problem isn't God. The problem is us. You have to seek God. So if you feel like your spiritual life is far away from God, I can promise you it is not God's fault. So examine your relationship with God if you want to draw near to Him. Take a knee. Pray. I have also said this before, that it doesn't really matter how you pray. I can't really... There are examples of different ways of praying in the Bible, but there's no command on how to pray how to pray in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to tell you you have to take a knee in prayer, but I kind of like this action because it's deliberate. Yes, you don't have to do it, but it shows that you are taking the action. How do we pray normally? Well, we kind of do this. And that is probably asking the least amount of you to go to God. You have this awesome way to communicate with God, and you get to put so little effort into doing it. By taking a knee, it's showing the initiative. It's taking the effort. Does it mean anything? Maybe. I think a lot of it has to do with your heart. When you read the Psalms, one of the Psalms talks about how David is praying. And if you look at how David prays with so much emotion. David has confidence in the way he prays because he knows God is going to hear him. God is going to hear you too. And it is so easy to do it, but how many times do we do it? Maybe once a day? Maybe because we feel like we have to, not because we want to. So, if you're looking on making improvements in your spiritual life, focus on your prayers. Clean up your hearts and your minds. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because it's not something that can be done in a day. There are no quick fixes to fixing your spiritual life. It does take time to clean your heart. Yes, you have grace. That can be done in a moment. But getting over that stuff kind of does take a long time. I'm reminded of the story of the parable of the sower. There's four kinds of Christians, and there's four kinds of people that hear the word. And one of them, I feel like, is the biggest trap. It's the one that hears the word and gets really, really excited, but they quickly fall away because those are the kind of people that are expecting a quick fix. It's not something that can be done in a few minutes, but in some cases takes a lifetime to do. Maybe weeks, maybe days, maybe months, maybe years. Don't be looking for a quick fix. Keep improving your life. Stop making excuses to what's there. And finally, fight back. This is probably my favorite of the six, is fighting back. The psalm we were reading today, David asked God to kind of punch the teeth of the wicked. And I thought that was such great imagery here. But we don't fight back against temptation. We flee from temptation. But we fight back against Satan. And this is something that the Bible talks quite a bit about. We do this by submitting to God, by putting on our armor. We do this by coming together right here in fellowship and in worship. We encourage one another. We don't allow each other to take a beating when it comes to our spiritual walk, but we fight back against those forces of evil. I hope 2020 is a good time for you, but if you're one of those people that are looking at 2019 and you're saying good riddance, you might actually enjoy this holiday that happened yesterday in New York City. There's a holiday, it's unofficial, it's called Good Riddance Day, but the idea is you write down your memories, especially the terrible memories, and then you post them, and at the end of the day, they take all those, and they rip them up, they turn them into confetti, and they throw them on Times Square a few days from now. That's kind of therapeutic, but my problem with Good Riddance is it's not really growth. And as if we look at good riddance, it's we're just at best hoping it will go away. It's not confronting the problem. And as Christians, we are told that we need to confront our problems head on, because if we don't, well, they might come back to bite us. And one of the easiest ways we can confront our problems, especially our problems with each other, is probably one of the best ways that we can improve our spiritual life in 2020, and that is being better forgivers. And so I hope 2020 is a year that all of you forgive like you have been forgiven. What do you think is harder? Do you think it's harder to judge sin, or do you think it's harder to forgive sin? As Christians, we're commanded to do both. But I can say, at least for me, it is a lot harder to forgive someone who has wronged me. But what does the Bible teach us about forgiveness? The Bible teaches us that every single one of us is worthy of condemnation. But God, in His mercy, sought to forgive us so that we can go back to Him, because in His eyes, He can forgive everything. And He has. I would say there's only one unforgivable thing, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But everything else is forgivable. So that means even the worst among us can have forgiveness. Forgiveness means taking the harder path. You know, one interesting thing that happened in 2020? In the news, there was a story about a woman who went to a home that wasn't hers, and she killed the person in the home. And during her trial this year, after she received her judgment, the brother of the man who was killed went up to the woman and hugged her. Yes, he wasn't asking that she escape forgiveness or escape punishment, but he was showing her that he forgave her for her actions. And when you look at Corinthians, Paul tells of a story of how this man who had suffered had gotten his punishment, but it was now time to give him grace and mercy, and that he should be brought back into the church. Because the thing about forgiveness is forgiveness displays God's mercy. And so once the person has served their penance, then it's time to bring them back into the fold. It's time to give them the hug. It's time to stop punishing them. That's what forgiveness means. As Christians, forgiveness can restore a sinner, much in the same way the prodigal son was restored when he came home. Yes, the other son still had his inheritance, but I think in this particular story, it was better for the son who was lost and found than the one who was never lost to begin with, because he understood what it meant to have grace and mercy. Forgiveness demonstrates obedience. Forgiveness reflects Christ's teachings. It helps us fight against Satan. It reflects the golden rule. There's so much I could say about forgiveness. But in 2020, or right now, forgiveness is something that we should be always working on, because it not only helps those around us, but it helps us as well. The ultimate gift that we have from God is grace, which comes in the form of forgiveness. I don't know what 2020 is going to be like for all of you. I hope 2020 is so much better than 2019. I know for someone like Peter, it's going to be leaving high school, and that's going to be scary. I know for the Crawleys, it's going to be having a third child. I know for myself, it's going to be being here with all of you. At least I hope so. I don't know. Maybe we'll see in a few weeks. But I really hope 2020 is a year that all of us can really get serious about making our walk with Christ a little bit better than it was the year before. Because that's something all of us should constantly be striving towards. And if there's something we could do to help you with that, or if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.